In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, family, that's what it's all about. That's what it always has been about. That's what it will always be about. No, this isn't the beginning of a corny Lifetime movie or of an inspirational speech. This is instead the lesson that Holy Mother Church proposes to us not only today, but all during this period of the last few weeks of the liturgical year, which we are now traversing. It also coincides perfectly with the encouragement that we are given to remember and pray for the holy souls during this month of November. For our conversation is in heaven, St. Paul reminds us in his epistle to the Philippians, from whence also we looked for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory. In a few weeks, we will hear our Lord in the Gospel tell of the terrible general judgment to come, when each man will stand before him at his second coming, to be rewarded with happiness for having cooperated with his grace, or to receive the eternal punishment for having refused his love. Already on the first day of this month, the Feast of All Saints, we were presented with the consideration of the glorious dogma of the communion of the saints, our elder siblings in the church who have run the race and have carried off the victory. They comprise the first part of our family, our elder siblings, who, like our elder siblings, are there for us, to help us, to be an example to us, to guide us, and to protect us. The next day we commemorated and continue to commemorate during this entire month the souls of the faithful departed, who are also part of our family and almost analogous to our younger siblings. Our younger siblings, when they are infants and small children, are incapable of helping themselves and need their older siblings to help them with almost every activity, assisting their steps, feeding them, and caring for them in other ways. So too do the souls in purgatory need us. For they can do nothing for themselves, but rely entirely upon our prayers and suffrages for their rapid release from the cleansing fires. As the church suffering, they too are part of our family, and today we pray for them in the Alleluia and the Offertory. From the depths I have cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. Family. That is what it is all about, the divine family, the family of God, the family of Holy Mother, the Church. And if we are reminded during this end of the liturgical season to invoke our family in heaven and pray for our family in purgatory, we must not, of course, forget the third branch of our family, those members of the church militant here on earth, and all men who are called to become members of this one holy Catholic and apostolic church of Jesus Christ. As human beings, we all originate from the same pair of original parents, Adam and Eve, who came, as we read in the gospel, from God. All men are therefore by nature brothers. Yet, because of original sin, death and discord entered the world, and the relationship between men was thrown into disorder, as evidenced by the fratricide committed by Cain against his brother Abel, and examples of which endure, sadly, even to our day. Christ's death, life, death, and resurrection restored man to the life of grace, making all men adopted sons and daughters of God, and by healing and elevating this relationship between men. We are made adopted sons and daughters of God through the grace of our baptism. This doctrine of filial adoption is taught by the sacred writers in the New Testament. St. Paul writes, "He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." And he writes again to the Galatians, which we heard earlier this year, that to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. St. John the Evangelist loved this teaching very much as well, as is evidenced from his referring to it often in his gospel and in his epistles. In his gospel, he writes concerning those who receive our Lord, but to all who did receive them and who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We hear that read at every Mass at the last gospel. And then in his first epistle, St. John's first epistle, he has these splendid words. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, We are God's children now, and what will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. It is a beautiful thought to consider that this doctrine was so dear to St. John, for he was the same one who received from our Lord the Mother of God as his own at the foot of the cross. This filial adoption by God was the doctrine that Christ confided to him at the foot of the cross, and so it is the one that he wished to emphasize the importance of to his own disciples, for he received it from the mouth of God himself. Since then, dear faithful, we are called to this exalted vocation of adopted sons and daughters of God. We are called to carry ourselves in a manner worthy of this dignity. As St. Paul instructs us in his epistle, not walking as they that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. No, our conversation is in heaven. And St. Paul so encourages the Philippians to bear with one another, even going so far as to correct two women of that Catholic community, Evodia and Syntyche, to stop their bickering and be of one mind in the Lord. Their fighting, their quarrel must have been quite something and very scandalous, because St. Paul, in a Roman prison 4,608 miles away from Philippi, heard of it and begged them to stop. No, he said, you are future fellow citizens of the kingdom of heaven, so you should treat one another as such. You are family, he told them, adopted brothers and sisters of God. Not only should that dignity be honored in ourselves, the fact we are a child of God, but we should ourselves honor it in others. Do we see that dignity of a child of God when we see another person? Do we treat them with that respect, that goodness, that love with which we would treat, or surely try to treat, St. John or St. Paul if we were to encounter them? We must remember that we are all family, all part of the same team. It is a hard road to heaven as it is. We do not need to make it harder by alienating our brothers and sisters in the faith by harshness. Let us instead, through the practice of fraternal charity and consideration of the beauty of a soul who is the child of God, work to grow ourselves in holiness. Certainly, there are some souls who will reject God and choose the part of the devils, eternal unhappiness in their own miserable autonomy. Yet while we are here below, while we still draw breath, each person is an actual or a potential adoptive child of God through grace, and so actually or potentially our brother and sister. Those who are already members of God's family, the Catholic Church, should be the objects of our particular affection. Those who are not yet should be treated in such a way that they desire to become members of that family where true charity abounds. A good example combined with a charitable witness to the truth speaks volumes more than the simple presentation of the truth with no charitable example behind it. The church, writes Dom Gueranger, is a magnificent temple which is built up to the glory of God by the living stones which let themselves be set into its walls. The constructing of those sacred walls, and on the plan laid down by Christ, is a work in which all are permitted to share. What one does by word, another does by good example, but both of them build, both of them edify the holy city. And as it was in the apostolic age, so always, example is more powerful than word, unless that word be backed by the authority of holiness in him who speaks it. Unless, that is, he lead a life according to the perfection taught by the gospel. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.